when God decided to love you, he wasn't content to sort of love you at a distance. He wanted to get up close when that happened, which is why Christ took on human flesh.
Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire talking about his presentation at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
But even after Christ ascended to the right hand of the Father, God still wanted to dwell with you through the flesh and blood of his Son. He wanted to be physically present and in the room when he covered you in forgiveness and life and salvation. So that's why he's given his church the Lord's Supper, and that's why we should rejoice every time God comes into the room and invites us to feast on the same flesh and the same blood that won our salvation at Calvary.
You can meet and hear Pastor Hans Feeney making the case for the Lord's Supper at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
The choir is where I think the choir ought to be, invisible to the people, so that the music comes from behind you and above you in an organ loft. You can't act like a peacock if you know that nobody is looking at you.
There is some truth to the criticism that we don't want to do our disciplines just for show. But I think the pendulum has completely swung in the other way, and we do our Christian freedom just for show.
She prepares him for his burial. She does it in this very generous and humble way. That's what we're supposed to remember. Her humility, her obedience, her generosity, not her name.
LCMS Navy chaplains appreciate daily food for thought on Issues Etc.
The United Methodist Church recently held a general conference, a special general conference in the St. Louis area. The big point of debate was whether or not they're going to move ahead with the LGBTQ agenda. There were two proposals. One of them said yes, and the other one said no. The one that said no was the one that eventually got the most votes, but that was after a lot of pleading, a lot of demonstrating, a lot of camera time on the local news by those who'd say, well, the United Methodist Church needs to join the culture. The culture has okayed all of this stuff, same-sex marriage, gay clergy. They've given their stamp of approval. Why can't the church? So how does a church body get to that point where they're even debating such things that are really crystal clear in God's word? Or does it have anything to do anymore with God's word? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Friday afternoon, the 15th of March. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the vicious cycle of double standards on sexual morality. Pastor Hans Feeney of the Federalist will join us here in just a moment. Dr. Serge Trifkovic of Chronicles Magazine will get us a perspective on the deadly attacks on two mosques in New Zealand that occurred yesterday. Suzanne Venker will be our guest, answering the question how an age of equality lies to women. It's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. After that, we'll be back to Pastor Rick Warren, like a blast from the past, his five purposes for your life. He's still talking about that. And then since it's Friday, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got our four soundbites ready to go. And after we have played them, you can vote. And you can also vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Vote via Twitter at issuesetc, via our email, talkback@issuesetc.org, or just wait and give us a call. That's 1-877-623-6943. Joining us to talk about the vicious cycle of double standards on sexual morality, Pastor Hans Feeney, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's a senior contributor to The Federalist and has authored a recent column there titled Christians Need to Stop Assuming LGBT Sin Matters More Than God's Mercy. Hans, welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
Your article is actually a response to another earlier Federalist article titled The Methodists Who Support Gay Clergy and Weddings Aren't Woke Activists. What did that article say?
Well, kind of the general gist of the article was a guy talking about a congregation that he belongs to, a large Methodist congregation he belongs to, and how his pastor had presented to them what it is that happened at this convention, and basically said that his pastor was advocating the idea that congregations within the United Methodist Church should be able to decide for themselves how accepting and embracing of gay marriage and gay clergy and things of that nature that they could be for themselves. And the guy writing the article was essentially saying, well, this seems like a conservative principle to me, that congregations can kind of make their own rules according to their own circumstances. And besides that, we want to bring people into the church, and we're going to drive people away if we're preaching fire and hell and brimstone. So this is the kind of the best way forward. Is we've already, you know, we have people in our congregation who are divorced or who are, you know, living together outside of marriage or are not following biblical guidelines about sexuality with regard to heterosexual relationships. So why can't we effectively do the same thing with gay relationships? So kind of the argument was basically, really, we're just kind of extending to gay people the same courtesy we've given to straight people, which is, we'll just ignore your sins. So kind of from his perspective, that's not really born out of woke politics or identity politics. That's just kind of born from a courteous desire to let gay folks live in 21st century American Christianity the same way everybody else does.
So why do you say that the author was naive?
Well, he says in the article, as you just quoted, that, you know, he doesn't see this as being born from a desire to be woke, a woke, politically active, progressive church body. And I can understand how laymen perceive that. But the reality is, if you look at denominations across the board, one of the things you're frequently seeing is that it's a very common thing for there to be a kind of an institutional attempt to overtake the church body and to remake it in the image of kind of woke politics. So, and I link in there back to an article I wrote a while ago explaining how it is that it would be possible for the Catholic Church to embrace gay marriage, as unlikely as that might seem. You know, and kind of one of the things I talked about in there was basically that the liberal progressive minority starts off screaming for representation or for tolerance. And then once they're tolerated, they want equal representation. And then the second they have 51% of the votes, they seek dominance. So the idea is basically, you say, well, let's let everyone do their own thing. And then once 51% of your side is doing their own thing, you then clamp down on the other side and sort of drive them out of your midst. So it certainly struck me as a bit naive to not realize that's a very common tactic among progressives in mainline denominations.
You say that there is a core creed for good old-fashioned American Christianity. What is that creed?
Yeah, so basically the core creed of American Christianity is essentially the idea that the responsibility of the church is to make sure that both God and men are kind of honoring their side of a covenant. So, and their idea is basically, God is going to be our God, and he's going to be our Father, and we'll be His children, but the kind of the caveat is God is not going to expect us to do anything unreasonable, and we will reasonably try to make ourselves holy in His eyes. So it's basically the idea of salvation by works, but God isn't going to make it too difficult on you. He wants to, you know, make it a fairly easy process for you to make yourself worthy of salvation. And so the job of the church is to make sure that if God is asking for something perfectly rational and perfectly reasonable, that the church's job is to tell you that you need to try harder, and that you're actually the one who's being unreasonable in this occasion. But if there are times when what God asks is far too much and it's far too burdensome and it would require you to give up too much, then the church's job is to figure out a way to convince Papa God that he's being too rough and being too rigid, and that he needs to relax the rules so that you can do an adequate job of making yourself holy.
What happens when society's morality deviates from traditional biblical morality under that creed of American Christianity?
Yeah, so I think what ultimately ends up happening is, so when you have a Christian culture that generally teaches people Christian values, even if they don't go to church, people determine whether or not what the Bible asks of them is, they determine whether or not that's reasonable, based off of just kind of their own desires. And so if you live in a Christian culture where licentiousness and outward immorality is frowned upon, and where people are going to think you're a bad person if you do stuff that's contrary to the scriptures, it's not as tempting to do that stuff. And because it's not as tempting, you're not as likely to do it, and it's not likely to become a part of your life. And so it seems much more reasonable for God to tell you not to do those things. But as the culture becomes less Christian and licentiousness and immorality become more prevalent in the public eye, then social judgments against them wane, mainly because people are, they're just less likely to speak words of condemnation against sins that people they know and love are committing. And so when the social judgment against those things disappears, then the fear of judgment of committing them is gone, and therefore they become more tempting to us, and we become therefore more likely to commit those sins. And then after we commit those sins, it's much more likely that they've become a part of our life that we can't imagine living without. And so once that happens, we become convinced that the same stuff we were fine with God forbidding, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 years ago, all of a sudden we think it's just absolutely unreasonable and ridiculous that God would ask us not to do those things, which is why it is that we very frequently kind of play the numbers game with this, right? So when people will struggle with these things, they'll say, well, look, everyone does this, so how could this possibly be wrong? Like, you know, as though, like, oh, God's not really going to condemn everyone. So therefore, if most of us are doing this, it must be fine. It must not be that big of a deal.
Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest. He's senior contributor to The Federalist, and he's written a column there titled, Christians Need to Stop Assuming LGBT Sin Matters More Than God's Mercy. We'll find out how this becomes a vicious cycle in progressive churches right after this.
St. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, panto te chairete, rejoice always, always rejoice. And the word he uses there is the same word which is used for grace, same root.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, talking about his presentation at the 2019 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
By grace you are saved by faith, and this not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. That's square one. And then Paul goes on to say, pray without ceasing and give thanks. Those all belong together. Rejoice, pray, and give thanks, all under the grace of Christ. The result is a deep joy.
You can meet and hear President Matt Harrison making the case for being joyfully Lutheran at the one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org.
Lutheranism in the public square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the vicious cycle of double standards on sexual morality in the progressive church. Pastor Hans Feeney is our guest, pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois, creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire. He's senior contributor to The Federalist and author of a recent column there titled Christians Need to Stop Assuming LGBT Sin Matters More Than God's Mercy. You can meet and hear Pastor Feeney making the case for the Lord's Supper at our one and only 2019 Making the Case Conference, June 7th and 8th in Chicago. He'll be joined by Matt Harrison, Ross Douthat, Wesley Smith, and Will Whedon. Early bird registration is $115. That includes three meals. Thanks to the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, childcare is now absolutely free. Attendance at the conference is limited to 500. Find out more and register at issuesetc.org or give us a call, 618-223-8385. Making the Case Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Hans, have you encountered this creed of American Christianity that God may say something, but it's kind of the church's job to soften his demands? Have you encountered that as a parish pastor?
Oh, sure. I think it's something that all parish pastors encounter, at least as long as you're willing to stand by the Word of God and say that the things that were written down a few thousand years ago still apply today. So, you know, people by and large won't expect you to, in their minds, these are just sort of rules. And so the church has rules, and it's the pastor's job to basically call balls and strikes and kind of to determine, you know, when these rules are going to be applied. So they'll kind of look at these things and they'll sort of say, well, I understand why it is that this rule is generally in place, but, you know, why are you being so strict about it? Why do you have to enforce it here? So you encounter this, you know, in all kinds of things. Pastors will deal with this. So if you have a couple that's living together outside of marriage, and the pastor will say, look, you know, I can't bless your wedding if you are engaged in an illicit state of having come together prior to marriage. And if this has become a public thing in particular is sort of the issue there. And so, you know, he'll say, look, you know, here are ways that you can amend this where you guys can, you know, split up, you know, and be living apart from each other before you get married or you go to the justice of the peace or something of that nature. And oftentimes you'll have people who say, thank you so much. That's, you know, we would be glad to take kind of one of those paths. But a lot of times you'll just have people basically respond by saying, well, why is this such a big deal? Everybody does this, you know. So 90-some-odd% of couples live together before they're married. And why is it that I should have to give up the kind of wedding that I want or do anything substantially, you know, substantial to change my life in order to get the kind of wedding that I want? Or you'll find this, you know, with people who are not bringing their kids to church because they've got them worshiping at the altar of the high altar of youth sports on Sunday morning. And the pastors will say, well, I can't confirm your kid if he's, you know, he or she isn't coming to class and isn't coming to church. I can't ask them to publicly make vows that they're already declaring that they're not going to keep. And, you know, the response oftentimes with these type of things is just to basically say, why on earth do you have to be so strict about this? Everyone does this, right? So I can understand why it is that, well, you know, pastor, 50 years ago, kids still memorized stuff and they came to church, you know, every Sunday. So it wasn't that big of a deal to expect kids to memorize the catechism and come to church every Sunday. But now that's just not the way the world works anymore. That's oftentimes the phrase that pastors hear quite a bit is, that's just not the way that the world works, pastor. As though the issue is that you are somehow hopelessly naive about the nature of the world, and the issue is not that they are, you know, insufficiently committed to living Christian lives.
Given this, what we've discussed here, kind of the church following the lead of the culture when it comes to morality, I find it ironic when I hear a fellow Lutheran sometimes say things like the world doesn't have a problem with God's law, it has a problem with the gospel. How would you respond to that?
Yeah, there's something very obnoxious about that, and it's always sort of struck me as a little bit like when I was in college and I would meet girls who would be crying at parties and you'd ask them what's wrong. And they tell you all about how they had this boyfriend who treated them like garbage. And you're going, why are you dating this guy? And, well, the answer was always basically because she knew that deep down inside there was a guy who could be reformed and who could be fixed, and she could be the one to fix him. And, you know, all the other girls couldn't. So there are lots of nice guys they could have dated, but it wouldn't have been fun to date a guy who was nice to everyone. They wanted to find the guy who wasn't nice to anyone and be the only one who could really save him. And I think there's an aspect that Lutherans oftentimes have in that regard, is that we know our theology is great and awesome, and we know that we understand this concept of the proper distinction between law and gospel and having the gospel predominate in our preaching. But the reality is that sometimes people don't come to church, maybe, because they have gone to congregations that weren't preaching them the gospel and weren't telling them that their sins were forgiven when they needed to hear it. But a lot of the time, the reason people don't come to church is because we're living in a culture that hasn't even remotely begun to wrestle with the idea that we are actually sinners who don't deserve God's grace and His mercy. And I think that's very clearly reflected in a culture that each and every single time when people are confronted with their sins and asked to change their behavior and to do something differently, their response is to basically say, "Who on earth do you think you are to ask me to change my life?" It's just utterly bizarre that you can read the scriptures and constantly be hearing the word of God where you're hearing about how deeply we need God's grace and how profoundly sinful we are, and yet somehow think that at no point in your life is it ever reasonable to suggest that if you don't want to do what the Bible says, that it's a you problem and not a problem with the Bible.
Pastor Hans Feeney is pastor of River of Life Lutheran Church in Shanahan, Illinois. He's creator of a series of comical videos called Lutheran Satire, senior contributor to The Federalist. He's authored a recent column there, "Christians Need to Stop Assuming LGBT Sin Matters More Than God's Mercy." We'll post a link to it under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Hans, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
When we come back, Dr. Sergio Trifkovic will join us. We're going to be talking about those deadly attacks at two mosques in New Zealand. He's foreign affairs editor for Chronicles magazine. Stay tuned. It's time to register to vote for President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Each congregation or multi-point parish must register their pastor and lay voter with the LCMS Office of Secretary by Sunday, March 24th of 2019. A registration form has been mailed to every LCMS congregation. Learn more at issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident. issuesetc.org/LCMSPresident.
We have a special Lententide for you here at Trinity Lutheran Church just north of New York City, with services at 5 and 7 every Wednesday, crafts and refreshments in between. Our Sunday program starts at 9 with Sunday School and Bible Study, with our regular service following at 10. Find us at trinityscarsdale.org. That's trinityscarsdale.org. Find us on Facebook, Trinity Lutheran Church. Come join us.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Emmanuel Press is a Lutheran-owned business in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in operation since 2004. That's 15 years of publishing liturgical and devotional books, 15 years of collaborating with Lutheran authors, artists, and translators. Thanks to our loyal customers and Issues Etc., we look forward to many more years of confessing and teaching the Christian faith. Visit us online at emmanuelpress.us, emmanuelpress.us.
The difference between being in the world and being of the world finally comes down to being in Christ. However they live, whatever they do, wherever they go, Christians are in Christ. These words from the Reverend Dr. Joel Bierman perfectly encapsulate the March issue of The Lutheran Witness, Life Together, Set Apart. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Peace Lutheran, Neenah, Wisconsin. Faith Lutheran, East Wenatchee, Washington. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Good Shepherd Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. St. John's Lutheran, Rosemont, Minnesota. Prince of Peace Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Osceola, Iowa. Resurrection Lutheran, Louisville, Kentucky. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. St. John Lutheran, New Berlin, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. And Hope Lutheran, Fremont, California. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, We'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.